So about 7 weeks ago, Wendy and I were at dinner with some friends. We came home. I turned on the ESPN to watch an NBA game, and the breaking news was the NBA cancels its regular season. And I thought, wait, what? Then the next day, I was scheduled to fly out later in the day to speak at a business conference, and I got a call from a friend who was organizing the conference, and he said, hey, Jeff, we're gonna cancel the conference. And from that point on, like you, it seemed like a series of cancellations were happening. And then 7 or so weeks later, here we find ourselves, and I don't know about you, maybe you don't feel this way, but here's how I feel in many ways. I feel like a small little tiny boat facing this massive storm, and this storm just continues to kind of crash in on this tiny boat of my life, if you will. It kind of reminds me, remember the movie, The Perfect Storm with George Clooney? The movie poster, you can actually Google this. It shows the little boat that George Clooney was on facing this massive storm. And it seems like every day there's like conflicting news and bad news and sometimes good news, like one day the stock market's up and then the next day, oh no, it's down. And then one day it's like, hey, we're flattening the curve. And then the next day it's like, no, it's gonna be 18 months longer. And it's just like one crashing wave after another in the tiny boat of our lives. And I don't know about you, but I've decided I just can't live that way. That's just too emotionally, mentally, and physically exhausting. I need an anchor. And the great news is that you and I have an anchor. And what I want to talk about today is I don't want to diminish the challenges of what we face these days. But at the same time, I want you to know that there's an anchor of hope, there's an anchor of courage, there's a real truth anchor that's available to you and me, that we don't have to be a little boat that's crashing in and tossed back and forth, that we can allow the waves to come, and the waves are coming, and they will continue to come in one form or another. But at the end of the day, we can still stand strong because there is an anchor in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives. And so for the next couple of weeks, I want to point you to a collection of verses that I think share with us the anchor in trying days like this, maybe unlike any collection of verses in the Bible. And in fact, if you were to say, what are the top 10 collection of verses in the Bible? No doubt these verses would be in the top 10. I think they would be in the top 5. I think actually they might be in the top 3, maybe in the top 2 of all of the Bible. But these verses, over years, the years and centuries now, have been able to be an anchor for millions and millions of people, not because of the words of themselves, obviously, but because of who these words point to and what these verses provide. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at these collection of verses. We're going to do two things, but before that happens, I simply want to read these verses to you. And maybe this is why you came here today, to tune in online and to hear these verses. Maybe the Lord wants to just share these verses to you as an anchor in this storm, to say, hey, yeah, the waves are crashing, but you're not a boat without an anchor. Let me be your anchor. And these verses really help provide an anchoring to our soul that provides a peace that can be a sense of calm for us. And my hope for all of us at Gwinnett Church is that we would be people that can know that in the face of a perfect storm like this is, that there's an anchor available to us. And this collection of verses shows us that in a very powerful way. This is what this says. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. So what I want us to do over the next couple of Sundays, we're going to break this psalm up in one of two ways. Today, we're going to talk about who the shepherd is, and next week, we're going to talk about what the shepherd does. So today, we're going to talk about who the shepherd is. Next week, we're going to talk about what the shepherd does. But as we talk about who and what, I hope it provides an anchor for you. Now, as some of you know, I'm a preacher's kid, so I've been in church all my life. And growing up, the translation of the Bible that we used was the King James Version. Many of you are familiar with this. Great translation, sometimes a little hard to understand. So when I first heard Psalm 23, verse 1, in the King James translation as a kid, here's how it sounded. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And honestly, that was always very confusing for me as a kid because I always thought, why wouldn't you want the Lord to be your shepherd? I don't get that. But what I later would understand, and obviously I wasn't the brightest kid in my class, what I would understand was this translation, which was, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. That makes a whole lot more sense, at least to me, but that also presents a little bit of a problem. And that problem is this. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Really? Have you checked your 401k lately? Have you looked at the unemployment numbers lately? Do you know someone who has the virus? On and on. Do you know an event or something that you were looking forward to that was canceled or postponed? So when we have this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, and then we look at the present day circumstances, how does this verse stand up with any sense of credibility to the reality of the loss in one form or another that all of us have experienced in these days? I think that's a great question. I think it's a great question to say, hey, is this something just nice and sweet and pretty that, you know, religions say, but in the face of the heat of reality, it kind of melts away? Or is there something here? Is there something that we can anchor onto that can say, in the face of what we're experiencing right now, no, it's still true. It has been true since the time that King David wrote this, and it is true now. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And if we can get there, what a great anchor that would be, especially in these days, right? So here's the great news. Many, many, many years later, after Psalm 23 was originally written, someone appears on the scene. And this someone kind of takes Psalm 23 and personalizes it in a very powerful way. And in doing so, points us to a reality that you and I can look at a situation in days like this and say with credibility, hey, despite the circumstances, despite the challenges, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. That someone is Jesus. And Jesus has something powerful to say in John chapter 10. And when I think you take Psalm 23 and you take John chapter 10 and you connect them, Psalm 23, already a great psalm, elevates to an even higher standard, to an even higher level because Jesus comes onto the scene and says, hey, the shepherd that King David was writing about, I know who that is. And this is what Jesus says in John chapter 10. And what he says in John chapter 10 personalizes Psalm 23 in a powerful, powerful way. This is John chapter 10, verse 11. This is Jesus talking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is saying, in essence, the way this psalm should read, the way the person that this psalm, Psalm 23, this very famous psalm, do you know who it's referencing? It's actually referencing me. And I'm a good shepherd. And I came here to lay my life down for you. And if I laid my life down for you, I'm not going to forget you. If I laid my down life for you, I'm not going to not remember who you are. I'm not going to forget your name. I'm not going to look the other way. I'm a really good shepherd. And I came so that you might have life and have it to the full. So Jesus is referencing, he's referencing himself. It's who King David was ultimately writing about. That the Lord is my shepherd is Jesus, and he's a good shepherd. And he came to lay his life down for you and for me. And then he repeats this in verse 14. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know
me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And again, I lay down my life for the sheep. Then verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd.
This is actually a reference to you. Jesus is saying, hey, this isn't just for the Jewish people, that this is going to be for the whole world. This message of who I am and what I've come here to do, it's going to spread all over the world. And here we are, going at church on the other side of the planet. And Jesus is saying to you, hey, that wonderful Psalm, Psalm 23, it's a great Psalm, is actually talking about me. And I'm a good shepherd, and I laid down my life for you. Don't forget that.
And he continues. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life for you, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
So what Jesus is saying is, I came to the planet to lay down my life, to pay for your sins, and to provide salvation and peace with God, that you have peace with God through me. And everything that provides you from the presence of God, peace with God, the knowledge that God is for you, that you are a son and a daughter, that you are an inheritor of the kingdom of God, that's available to you because Jesus not only laid down his life for you, he took it up again. He defeated the grave, that nothing, not even death, not even the grave, can hold him back from bringing you to the Father through grace, through love, through mercy, and because of the fact that he's a good shepherd and he is leading you well. Now, Jesus was really clear. He didn't promise us that we would have an easy, pain-free life. He said, no, no, you will have difficulty in this world, but take heart, I've overcome all of this. And so Jesus continues to point us to this
in John chapter 10, verses 22. It says, then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, but I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep.
And then he starts talking about you, if you're a follower of Jesus.
He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This first part in verse 27, I want to point you to. My sheep listen to my voice. Gwinnett Church, one of the most important things that we can do in this season is to listen to Jesus like never before. So let me push at us a little bit. I'm not against watching the news. I'm not against staying current and updated. But as you look at time in the scriptures and time on Facebook or social media, if you will, which is the heavier weight of time for you? I think one of the things that you and I need to be doing in this season is spending more time in the scriptures than ever before, allowing the shepherd to speak to us. Because Jesus says, the sheep know my voice. Now, this is an interesting analogy because, you know, sheep are low to the ground and a shepherd has a higher point of view. The shepherd the thoughts of the shepherd are at a higher level. They can see from a greater perspective than the sheep. And what Jesus is saying is stay close to me so that you can listen to my voice. Stay close to me so that you can understand that even though it seems like the world is falling apart, you can anchor to me. Because I'm a good shepherd. I laid down my life for you. Stay close to me. And so as you look at how you're spending your week and your time, there's not anything wrong with, you know, binging on Netflix, but at the end of the day, we got to make sure that we are spending time here listening to the shepherd. because my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Verse 28, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one can snatch them from my hands. In other words, you know what this means? When you place your faith in Jesus, you're anchored in. You have eternal life. And that's just not eternal life in heaven. That's true, but eternal life now. What that means is that the life that Jesus gives, that even in the face of challenges, there's peace, there's joy, there's contentment that comes from him because we are anchored in him, both now and in eternity. That he gives us eternal life. We will not perish. The grave has nothing on us. And nothing and no one can snatch us from him. We are anchored in, locked in. This is why David can write, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing," because I'm anchored to Jesus. But then Jesus does something that I think takes it even to a higher level. If that's not enough to say, okay, I'm anchored in, I have eternal life, I will never perish, that no one can take me from Jesus, that he knows me, that I'm gonna stay close, he knows the situation that I'm in, he hasn't forgotten me, that's all true. Jesus takes it up an even higher level in the next collection of verses, which is, I believe, just incredible, because what Jesus is in essence saying is, hey, it's not just me that's leading you. My Father who has given them, the sheep, to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he said this that sent all the religious leaders into a tizzy. I and the Father are one. In essence, what Jesus is saying is, hey, no one can snatch you out of my hands. But if that's not enough, the Father and I are one, which means that no one can snatch you from the hands of your heavenly Father. You are anchored in to the creator of the universe who loves you, who sent his Son to lay down his life for you, who then took his life back up, came out of that tomb. And that is your story now, connected to Jesus. And so what Jesus says to you is that I give you eternal life. None of you will perish, and no one can snatch you from me. You are secure. And when we understand that, here's how we ultimately can read Psalm 23:1. You ready for this? And here's what I'm going to invite you into. Here's our action item. What do I want you to do with this? Here's what I want you to do. Psalm 23:1, when you understand John 10 and Psalm 23:1, I think you could actually read Psalm 23, verse 1 this way. Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Go to church. What would happen if when a tidal wave of information came your way, your response was this? Okay, not denying it, but Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What would happen to your soul? What would happen to the peace? What would happen to the anxiety and the stress when you would push back and say over that, Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. A friend of mine made this point recently, which I thought was a really great point. He said, you know, too often we listen to ourselves and we don't speak over ourselves. We listen to ourselves too much, but we don't speak truth over ourselves. I love that thought. What if this week, instead of listening to the worries and the fears and the anxieties, that we just spoke truth over our lives? When we felt that fear and that uncertainty and that anxiety, and as a tidal wave hits this week, perhaps, we just say, well, Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And then the bottom line for today really is this. The other sentence I think that you can speak over your life is, I lack nothing because Jesus is everything. I lack nothing
because Jesus is everything. Hey, I know many of you have job challenges right now. What if, in the middle of this, you just stayed close to the Savior and you listened to Him like never before? I think what you'll discover is that your Savior says, hey, we're going to get through this, and I'm going to walk you through this. By the way, I am your good shepherd. I am leading you. So listen to my voice. Stay close. Follow me. So this week, here's my challenge for you, for all of us. Will we speak this truth over our lives when the fear, when the tidal wave hits? Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And I lack nothing because Jesus is everything. No one can snatch you from His hands. Now, many years ago, when I was a kid at a church in Norcross, not too far from down the road where the Sugar Hill location is, my dad pastored there, and one day his mentor came to our church. And this guy was a legend. His name, some of you might remember this man. His name was Louis D. Newton. I grew up Southern Baptist, and he was known as Mr. Georgia Baptist. So Louis D. Newton came to speak at my dad's church, and it was a big deal. It was like Michael Jordan coming to a basketball game to watch you play, right? So he spoke at our church that day. And so after the service, everyone had left, and it was Mr. Newton, my dad, my younger brother, John, and me. And we were little guys, I don't know, maybe like 7 and 5, something like that, 8 and 6. So at the end of the conversation, Reverend Newton was a rather tall man. So he's saying goodbye to us, and he bends down and he looks. Now he's on eye level with John and me, all right? And so he points to my dad's shoes, which is kind of odd, right? So he points to my dad's shoes and he says, gentlemen, see these footsteps? Follow them. Follow them. I've never forgotten that. He wasn't saying, go follow him to be a pastor. That's not what he was saying. He's saying, see these footsteps? They're following Jesus. And if you'll follow these footsteps that are following Jesus, it will lead you somewhere. Because Jesus always, always leads us to something good. As my friend Louis Giglio says, if it's not good yet, God's not done yet. So Gwinnett Church, we have an incredibly good Savior. And because of who He is, and because of what He has done, the reality is that you have incredible connections to your Heavenly Father. And nothing, not unemployment, nothing, not a virus, nothing, not a wild and crazy stock market, can snatch you away from the Good Shepherd. So this week, speak that truth over your life. Jesus is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing because Jesus is everything. That's the who of Psalm 23. So this week, let's anchor onto that truth. Live it out this week. And then next Sunday, we're going to come back and talk about what the shepherd does. To usher us into this season of speaking that truth over our lives, Adam's going to sing this song over us. But before that happens, I'm going to pray for you. And then what we're going to do this week is to speak that truth over our lives this week. Father, thank you. Thank you that nothing can snatch us out of your hands. Thank you for sending your Son and the incredible Savior and Shepherd. And because of what He has done, because of who He is, we lack nothing. So in the challenges that disguise themselves in very powerful, real, and tangible ways as a place that where we lack a lot, will you do what you do? Provide for our needs like only you can do. But in the middle of all of that, remind us that we are anchored in to the Good Shepherd, and that Jesus is our shepherd, and we lack nothing. And it's in His name that we pray this. Amen.